A good day, Shabbos, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shir number 170. We're going to talk about embracing healthy relationships. Healthy relationships are important in creating a healthy you. Whether you're introverted, whether you're extroverted, the social connection of having loving relationships is crucial for development. Hashem did not create us to be alone. He created us to share with one another. Person should have and daven for, k'nei lecha chaver, at least one person that they can confide in, whom they can share their innermost thoughts and feelings. Daga b'lev yesh yashchenu, if you have a worry, you talk it over with someone else. Obviously, trusted. It's one of the biggest bracha to find a person that you could trust, and it's one of the biggest bracha to be a trustworthy person, to be a listening ear to others. One of the aspects of having healthy relationships, again, extroverts or some people have a problem, is that it's not a matter of gathering people, of getting as many acquaintances or people you know. Very often in social media these days, people feel that they are connected when in reality they're not connected at all. They know a lot of people, or they superficially email with Facebook, whatever they do these days, but it's not a real connection. So when we talk about embracing healthy relationships, it means a human being to a human being. One of the aspects of developing that is, when you're interacting, is to break the habit of approval addiction. Mark Twain once said, a man cannot be comfortable without his own approval. Man cannot be comfortable without his own approval. If you're overly preoccupied when you come across to others, if you're overly critical of yourself, if you have a hard time accepting and loving yourself as you are right now, and you look outward for love and you look outward for approval that you lack from within, that's impossible. No amount of approval from others will replace a self-love. Here, self-love, we're talking in a healthy way, of self-acceptance in a healthy way. You will never get enough. There'll always be a sense that you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, and you'll be met with rejection or you'll be met with disapproval. That's why very often people who lack self-love sometimes develop forms of social anxiety, because they place too much emphasis in what other people think of them. And very often it's connected to hypersensitivity. Some people are approval addicts. They need that fix of approval from either his fellow students or professors or other people. Many people that have low self-esteem complicate matters when they perceive criticism and rejection, when really there's no criticism or rejection to be had. And the more insecure you feel, the more you'll feel that disapproval when it's not really a disapproval. So it's very important when we talk about healthy relationships not to look for love in the wrong places. Very often your approval addiction will get you connected to people that are not healthy, because you strive their love, meaning they're, but in the meantime, they're taking advantage of you. So you need to really love yourself and work on healthy self-esteem that we talked about so much in the last many shiurim, and develop and look for healthy friendships. One person once said that a friend is one who knows you as you are, understands where you have been, and accepts that you have what you have become, and still gently allows you to grow. Gently allows you to grow. I'm going to say this again, and this is important to think about when you're thinking about your own wife or your own husband, when you're developing a healthy relationship. A friend is one that knows you as you are, understands where you have been, accepts what you have become, and still gently allows you to grow. The quality of your relationships in a large degree depends on your quality of your life. If you have low self-esteem, you're more likely to distrust people, since the foundation of trust in yourself is shaky, which will make you self-protective, if I may say, also self-defensive. So very often problems in marriage, working on your character, of course, is important. A big part of that is recognizing that a lot of your reactions in marriage that create a negative effect, the way you hurt your husband, the way you hurt your wife, is shayrishes of it, is your reaction to feeling low self-esteem And that fear of disapproval, that fear of ridicule, that fear of rejection or not fitting in, very often makes you react in the wrong way, makes you feel more isolated. And to ward off fears of rejection and disapproval, you'll end up being more self-critical, and often you'll be more self-critical of others, including your own spouse. You might be protecting yourself from others, but you're not protecting yourself from yourself. And you have this self-imposed isolation or negative patterns because of your own lack of self-esteem. Now, just women generally are more biologically wired for connection, but a social support is healthy and important for men as well. Study after study has shown that both men and women have shown that the strength of social connection is one of the best predictors of happiness. That's why often in many of the Hasidic circles, they have something called Farbringens, where they get together and they connect and they talk in Torah, but they also give each other chizik. They eat and drink together and they celebrate, they sing. The Shal Shudas and Shul, all of these things are healthy aspects of this type of social connection, utilized in this case for Ruchnius and serving Hashem. Part of having a healthy relationship, of course, is to treat others with a loving kindness, with a compassion. One philosopher once said, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a harder battle. We don't know what's going on in another person's plate, and being able to forgive and have compassion for others, very often even after they hurt you, will free you from bitterness and resentment. That doesn't condone bad behavior, doesn't lessen your hurt, but you deserve much better than just to hang on to negativity and bitterness, because you're giving power to others when you do that. So therefore it's important to develop that self-esteem, to be able to treat each other with as much loving kindness as possible. It has benefits. You're loving kind to others, you'll be more likely to receive love and kindness from others. Right? It says that you get more flies with honey than with vinegar. People are positive tend to attract positive people. People are critical and negative and judgmental tend to push people away, leading to isolation or conflict-ridden relationships with unhealthy people. So the giving each other the gift of forgiveness is part of healthy relationships as well. Forgiveness says you are given another chance to make a new beginning. And there are many ways where people feel wronged, small slights or real trauma, real abuse. It's more difficult when it comes to real abuse, but at least with the smaller slights, we can't change what happened, but we can choose to forgive. Sometimes if it's a toxic abuser, we have to separate completely. It's a whole different dynamic. So we're not going to get into the heavy stuff now, but just the overall relationships of flawed people who make mistakes by hurting each other. The forgiveness is healing. That does not mean that they were right and you were wrong. You know, people hold on to a sense of righteousness way past the point of usefulness. It's more about you, forgiveness, than about the other person. It's your own thoughts of bitterness that are holding you back. And when you forgive others, you stop expecting them to give you something that they don't have to give. And it holds back and removes bitterness and grudges and resentment from you. Very often, the lack of willingness to forgive only hurts yourself, does not hurt the other person. So that's a very, very important thing, to work on that midah of forgiveness. Part of it is to recognize when you look at yourself, there's a bigger than yourself goal. One wise person once said that the more you lose yourself into something bigger than yourself, the more energy you will have. And of course, the serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is how marriages thrive, when they both have Hashem in their mind. What does Hashem want from us, the way he wants us to treat each other, and what the goals he wants us both to do together, then a lot of marriage problems fall on the wayside because you're thinking of something bigger than yourself. That's, by the way, one of the most surest ways to feel better about yourself overall is to help others, to volunteer to help others, to do chesed for others, to be generous, to think outward, because that basically removes the focus from the self-focus to an outward focus, which is very, very important. When What happened was with Thomas Edison, here's a big aside. When he was 67 years old, everything he went up in smoke, his workplace was destroyed in a catastrophic fire. Now, normally that would trigger extreme stress and extreme despair, but Edison calmly asked his son to get his mother so she could watch the fire, as she will never see anything like this as long as she lives. And the next day he said, "There's great value in disaster. All our mistakes have burnt up. Thank God we can start anew. Thank God we could start anew." Steve Jobs, in a commencement speech in 2005, he shared being kicked out of Apple, the company he founded, which was very humiliating for him, but it also was a chance to start anew. What would have been to most a public failure and embarrassment became an impetus to bounce back better than ever. I didn't see it then, but it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The heaviness of being successful was replaced with the lightness of being a beginner again. Less sure about everything, it freed me to enter one of the most creative periods of my life. So this ability to accept major setbacks, or even tragic life-changing things, to switch it into the positive, like Edison and Jobs, like we just explained here, develops the resiliency and the equanimity and the optimism for growth potential, even within traumatic events. Martin Seligman, he focused on positive psychology, shifted the study from mental illness into mental wellness, how individuals and communities can increase their emotional health and well-being and resiliency by not focusing on the cognitive distortions and mental disturbances, but to the other way around, how to grow, thrive personally and socially and spiritually, to be optimistic, to be positive. And that is such an important part of life. So the negative explanatory style to yourself is to say, no one likes me, I'm just unlikable. The positive way of forming it is, it's a tough forum for me to meet people and there was no one I clicked with. That's all. Or instead of saying, I never meet anyone and will spend my life alone, you switch that in your brain and you say, I haven't found the right person yet. I can't predict the future. There's no reason to see why I can't meet someone if I want to. And the right person. Or if you say in the negative style, things won't work out for me, you say, no, I've been successful in school and in my career. I will never stop trying. Big part of this also with healthy relationships is to recognize, to have a hakaras hatov. When a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in his or her humanity, Elie Wiesel said, which is true. Gratefulness is perhaps one of the most important ingredients to optimistic and resilient life and healthy, loving relationships. Grateful people, generally, they don't expect to have a rainbow without a rain. They change when they can, but accept when they cannot change. They don't rail against life injustices. They don't look for something that is missing in their lives. They focus on the gift they were already given. They spend a little time comparing themselves to others. They're not bitter. They're not jealous. They're not resentful. They think in optimistic ways. You rethink challenges, you rethink and you embrace it, you remove the, turn the positive into, you turn the negative into the positive, you take stress and instead of it flattening you out, you energize it. You shift your mindset. You shift your mindset. The growth mindset is the work and effort are important. Not that your natural intelligence and past achievements are important. You believe your abilities can be altered. You don't believe that they're fixed or unchangeable. You believe meaning determination can pay off. Don't say that it doesn't matter. Appreciate the importance of persistence, growth, focusing on learning, open-mindedness, flexibility, open to feedback, persevere in failure, to live an emotionally resilient life. Emotional wellness and self-esteem go hand in hand. And that's why we described and we talked about this so much. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us develop this, daven for this, and build ourselves up, and daven for healthy relationships, and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us special siyata d'shmaya in the way we go about it. Bracha and atzlacha.